Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
The Department of Education announced today an expanded summer education programme for pupils with complex special educational needs and those at greatest risk of educational disadvantage. This expanded scheme is a response to the COVID restrictions that resulted in thousands of children missing out on school during the restrictions. And as I say, I'm joined by Josepha Madigan, Minister for State at the Department of Education. You're very welcome indeed to the programme and the studio. This is much, much needed after the year that everybody's had. How's it going to work?
Yeah, so every year we run the summer provision or the July provision, as it's been traditionally called. But this year, in recognition of COVID, as you pointed out, we've significantly expanded the programme, and I hope it'll also be a significant boost to families. There will now be 81,000 pupils with special education needs who will be eligible for the programme. And if we think last year, we had 23,000 eligible, so we've expanded it almost fourfold increase. We've also put 40 million into it. Last year we had 20 million. So the way it works is that schools can provide between 2 and 4 weeks, and we've now expanded it also by next week, so up to 5 weeks, a school can provide this programme for children with special educational needs. So those children will be children in special schools, special classes, and indeed now for the very first time, children with complex needs in mainstream classes.
So how do you define that? The first two categories are quite easily defined. How do you define the extent of that final category, the general student population, that they would come from that
from the mainstream, yeah, the complex needs. So they would be readily identifiable by the school itself. They're usually children who have a support plan, who are in a continuum of support. So I suppose they would probably be children with more severe needs, perhaps within the mainstream class. And it's been really difficult for all children, as we know, with special education needs over the last year. And so the great thing about this is that report cards and progress cards will be given to the school that they start in September. And it's way of acclimatising the child back into school. I mean, we've been very concerned about the loss.
I'm quite clear on that it's easily identifiable, that cohort, those with special educational needs. The category I'm finding it difficult to define is, it comes from, it's the third one listed, I think, or the second one, the general student population and those at greatest risk of educational disadvantage. How do you define that category?
Sorry, you're talking about the DESH programme.
Well, you tell me, is it only JESS schools?
Yeah, I guess that's under Minister Foley's remit. I suppose I'm concentrating on children with additional needs. But I am aware of the fact that there are 25,000 places for primary DESH pupils in numeracy and literacy camps. Mm-hmm. So they would be traditionally DESH schools where they're in disadvantaged areas and where they get support from the state through the DESH system. But my brief is around special education.
Understand. But just on that final category, I mean, if you're outside of a JESS school, you can't apply for the expanded summer programme.
Well, unless you're a child with an additional need, and then if you're in a special class or a special school, or indeed with a complex need in a mainstream class. In terms of the DESH school, I understand that there are 25,000 places, and in for post-primary as well as primary schools, and they'll be numeracy and literacy camps. So that is an extension and an expansion on last year also, and comes under Minister Norma Foley's remit. But one of the things that was really important this year is that we took down or broke down any barriers that the schools had in participating in the scheme, because it is voluntary at the end of the day. So it's up to the school management and it's up to the staff themselves to participate in it.
We have a text on that actually. A listener says, the new plan for July provision is meaningless as it's not compulsory. Most schools are not running July provision. My son goes to a special needs school in Mullingar and it will be closed for July. This will not work. So you're depending on schools to come forward.
Well, first of all, from last year, obviously during COVID, there obviously was a lot of, you know, there was tentative, I suppose, movement from a number of schools who were afraid maybe to participate in this programme. But what we have done is we've listened, we have spoken to the schools and we've reduced some of the barriers. So there was an administrative burden, they told us, in terms of the paperwork. Mm-hmm. So what we've done now is we've centralised that application process. They were also looking for more staff. So now we've allowed final year students to take part in it also, and they will be under supervision. We have also, there's things like CPD, things about funding as well. They wanted the funding up front, so we're allowing that. So to me, it is voluntary, but there is no barrier now in place from listening to the schools and from identifying and forensically looking at all of the issues that they had. We have now addressed every single one of those issues.
And teachers come for have a meeting and they say, look, we've put in a really tough year. We actually feel we need to recharge the batteries and we're not going to do this.
Well, it is only for either 2 up to 5 weeks, right? That's the first thing to say.
But what if the school
doesn't? But also to say, I think a lot of teachers, and from my conversation with a lot of teachers and a lot of SNAs in particular, they know what these children with special needs have gone through over the last year. They are very keen. Because it is an addition to the school programme itself. And that's why we're providing the 40 million funding. It's not something really that you could mandate. But I do think that we'll see a huge, significant more uptake, particularly when we look at the vaccine rollout as well.
Do you expect schools to come forward and apply?
Yeah, now on the basis that we have actually gone through every single one of the measures that they addressed with us, and we have tackled each one of them, and we have a solution for each one of those, then there is no impediment.
People with experience of July provision that are texting this programme are not convinced. I'll give you some of them at least, a number of the texts. Schools are always reluctant to do July provision. In 5 years, my son has had it once.
Yeah. And for those particular schools that don't participate in it, I should point out as well that there is obviously a home-based programme, right, for those children, which is 40 hours a week. And that's now being expanded to 50 hours a week, particularly if they didn't avail of the supplemental provision that was took place during Easter. But I would be very, very surprised if we don't see the majority of schools. There are 4,000 schools, Cormac, in total. There are 124 special schools. I would see the majority of them. The fact that we have tackled every single one of the issues,
My son has had it once.
But we're talking about this year. We're talking about this summer. We're talking about extra funding.
After a very tough year, the teachers and schools have had.
And so they
might want to recharge their batteries.
But I think you're saying that the teachers and the SNAs don't care about their children.
No, I'm not
because
saying
they
that
do,
at all.
Because they do.
That.
Because they do. And
I
do. And they do. And I do think that they'll want to try. And we have addressed all of their issues that they've put forward to us. And I think quite successfully. So I think the majority
not keen to do this scheme.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't comment on a school just in from a comment,
text
you know, in from a
Cosgrave,
text.
A massively expanded plan isn't much use.
But this is only announced today, Cormac.
Let me read Fiona's text. A massively expanded plan isn't much use as no one will be able to secure tutors. No one wants to do it. Tax too high. And not paid until November.
No,
I think that's rectified
now. We've addressed that. We've addressed every single issue, Cormac, that the schools have raised. So just to assuage the concerns of your listeners.
Okay, let me finish Fiona's text.
Because this is only announced today.
Can I finish Fiona's text? She says, it isn't mandatory for schools to do, and most won't. Tutors also tend to go with the kids who need less support, so the more severe ones sit at home and can't participate, says Fiona.
No, I don't accept that. You know, the reality is that I had to ask the department and Martina Mannion, who has an incredible amount of Trojan work in relation to this, to try and break down what are the issues, what are the impediments to schools participating in this, and because it is voluntary. And we want it to work. And I know that the children with special needs and their families wanted to work, the teachers wanted to work, and the SNAs wanted to work. So we had to incentivise. So we have incentivised. We are doubling the funding. We've expanded the eligibility. We've expanded the amount of time. And we've also allowed the timing. So the timing was an issue for schools where they mightn't necessarily want to provide it in July. They can now provide it in August.
So there's flexibility there. So each issue and each
point has been addressed.
Yeah, but an awful lot of people aren't convinced, or wary at least.
I can understand that wariness, but I hope that...
Do you have a number of schools or a proportion of schools who actually do apply and provide July provision?
Oh yeah, we always do. Yeah, I mean, last year there were 23,000 that were eligible for it.
Do you know how many schools do?
This year, well, it's only open, you know, so we don't know yet what we're going to have this summer. Yeah, we've had a number of schools. I couldn't tell you the top of my head exactly how many schools participated last year, but I can come back to you on that. Mm. But like a majority of schools do. But what I want to look out from last year is to see, and I remember we did COVID last year as well, and you know, cases were a lot higher. The vaccination programme wasn't there. It's a lot different this year. But I want to look at what the impediments were. What were the reasons reasons why schools weren't participating. And I really believe that this year we will change that. This is a radical departure in terms of funding, in terms of the expansion of eligibility criteria, and in terms of the time for it as well.
Tell me this, Minister, and this is my question is prompted by a text which I'll read first. If I, as an SNA, did July provision, I would be double taxed. And as a result, for 4 weeks' work, I'll get paid for two if I'm lucky. Now, you're effectively asking parents and SNA, or teachers and SNAs, to work in their kind of off time in summer.
You are, but they're being paid for it. So
how much?
Well, there's 40 million in total. So, I mean, last year there was 20 million.
What's the rate of
pay? Yeah, the rate of pay, I wouldn't have that forensic detail in terms of, you know, exactly how much an SNA gets per hour or a teacher. I don't think anybody would.
Would it be more than the normal rate?
I would imagine it's around the same. I wouldn't like to be quoted on that. That's something that I could, you know, again, I'd have to check out. But I am very satisfied that it's a reasonable pay for what they are doing.
Is it reasonable?
And for the programme. But I don't want to have a conversation about pitting SNAs and teachers against families with children, you know, with special needs. This is a collaborative thing. We've worked really hard behind the scenes for a very long period of time to provide this essential service and essential programme to these children. And I really think that everybody will benefit from it, including the teachers and the SNAs. But it's really about the children. They've suffered so much from a loss of key skills and regression. I was really determined to secure and enhance an expanded programme for these children this year.
Okay. Can I ask about another burning issue? And this is the housing crisis. And I know there's some tension, reported tensions between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil anyway, in relation to what's being proposed and what's being delivered by the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien. And the Taoiseach, we played at the very start of the programme, came under fire in the Dáil today about planning provision, housing provision and housing planning and housing delivery and so on. Now, he said it's an area of concern that such a high number of empowered plan OLA decisions are overturned, and there may be a need to reform planning laws and the planning system. Now, he also said, and this was in relation to questions by Mary Lou MacDonald about investment funds, he said that it's all about supply. And he said that Sinn Féin TDs or council members were objecting to developments and housing developments up and down the country, and that they had questions to answer. He said, this is about supply, 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 and all TDs of all parties must do everything we can, he says, to support housing. Do you agree with him?
Yeah, I do agree with him. I think there has been this movement from Sinn Féin over the last number of years, including Eoin Óibrín, who have objected to housing in their particular areas, particularly on local authorities and when there's housing projects that are going up. And that's simply not good enough. I mean, the Taoiseach recently said that we need 350,000 new homes in Ireland over the next 10 years, and that's going to cost about 90 million. So, you know, or 90 billion, I should say.
Yeah.
You know, the state can only provide about a third of that. So we do need some REITs to come in, but not. It was never designed that they would buy out whole housing estates.
Every home.
I mean, this is something that I've raised with the parliamentary party, and when Dara O'Brien comes in to us on the 19th of May, it's something that I'll raise with him as well. You know,
can I ask
the,
you about
the housing issue is a priority for this government. I have two teenage sons myself. They're going to be looking to buy over the next 10, 15 years. I want for them to be in a position to buy a property and to be given the chance like everybody else.
Can I ask you about a development, I think, in your own constituency? Publican Charlie Chalk's plan to construct a 186 million apartment scheme reaching to eight stories. Now, it's suffered a setback recently, but you put forward a submission in relation to it. Was it an objection?
No. A submission is not an objection.
No, I understand. Well, what were you saying?
So I think there's a delineation there, and it's very important to clarify that. So in the submission, what I was effectively saying, I mean, we have a job, and I accept that as a public representative, where we have to put forward the views of our residents. And I don't think per se that people have an objection to that particular development. They object to perhaps the density of it, the height of it, and a number of other issues. So what I simply did in that letter, if you have it there with you, you'll see that what I set out was the residents' concerns. So I have an obligation to put those forward. And I spoke on the Land Development Agency in the Dáil as well. I think one of the concerns that we had is that the LDA isn't engaging with local groups on the ground. And it's really important.
What were the residents'
concerns? And I've written to Dara O'Brien on that as well. Yeah. Well, the density was one, the eight stories. Some people have an objection to that.
So it was an objection?
No. Some of them have an objection to the height. So it depends. You know, like each development is very different. There are a number of different developments going into my particular constituency.
What are their concerns?
So their concerns were, I mean, each one is very different, but the majority of them was traffic, for example, and, you know, being gridlocked in the morning, or the density. Each one is unique and bespoke and has its own different.
So you were raising shape. Objections.
I was raising the concerns that the residents has. I think it's a very different thing, and I know what you're trying to do, Gormit.
You used the word objections.
Yeah, they were objecting to the height, and I think I have a duty as a public representative to put those views forward.
But I am not objecting.
I'm not objecting. I believe in more housing.
Do you?
We need absolutely.
But not 300 apartments here.
No, but I'm not going to pick and talk about an isolated. You can take my letter and you can read it. I have a duty, obviously, to put a submission forward, and I put submissions forward all of the time, as does every other public representative.
Because
that's a very different thing to say Ona Brin or to another Sinn Féin councillor objecting to completely and utterly to housing developments going up in the first instance.
You're saying I want 300 apartments, but not in my constituency not in this.
I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, I have no difficulty with apartments going up in my constituency, none whatsoever. But it's very important that the LDA engage with local groups on the ground, because you're talking about collaboration, you're talking about community, and the LDA says it's community-based. If it is community-based, and I will bring and I have brought this to Tara Brown's attention, then it needs to engage with locals on the ground. That is absolutely pivotal. Okay, nobody I've spoken to in my constituency has an objection to a housing development going up. It's purely in relation to certain issues.
I think I get you now.
Yeah,
if they collaborate, you have no problem with 300 apartments there.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Really?
Yeah.
So collaboration, 300 apartments.
But it's 300 or 200, 100. I don't have the plans here in front of me. And it's not for me to say. It's about the residents who are in situ already. Yeah. I remember in the Department of Culture when we were talking about, for example, new housing developments going up, and I asked that they would take into account existing cultural venues that are there. So, you know, again, about the gentrification. Okay. So it's always about looking at the existing community as well, and engaging and collaborating and having conversations. That engagement is absolutely critical and absolutely crucial. But it's a very different thing to say an objection.
Can I ask you one final question on investment funds or cuckoo funds or REITs or whatever you want to call them, and their use a number of years ago versus their use now, and they're buying up chunks of housing estates that were aimed really for home buyers. I spoke with John Moran, previously of the Department of Finance, on this programme some days ago, and he said they should have been legislated out of the market, effectively, I'm paraphrasing, about 2014 or 2015, when you were in government, I think, as a full minister. Why wasn't that done?
And I know Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath and Dara Bryan were meeting after Cabinet today to talk about policy around this area. And that may well be something that they're considering. Maybe, I think it is a two-prong approach, is the impression that I'm getting. So looking at a combination of taxation and planning and trying to work around that. But, you know, they definitely play a part, the REITs, but a small part. Whether we penalise them in a taxation way, I can't answer that. I was in government at the time. I know that they played a role. And as I said earlier on, the Taoiseach talked about the 90 billion, you know, that we need over to build 350,000 houses over the next 10 years. We can only afford a third of that through the LDA, through the Affordable Housing Bill and through other vehicles. But we also need support from some investments as well. Okay. So it's to get that balance. And I think, you know, what happened in Maynooth is rare. It's not something that happens, you know, on a regular basis, and it shouldn't happen, you know, because we do need housing and we want first-time buyers and other people to be able to buy houses as much as possible.
Okay, Minister of State at the Department of Education, Josepha Madigan of Fine Gael, thank you very much indeed.